Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's hard. It's definitely a lot of work, but it's fun, too. It's a blast, you know, to be able to finally put out a record. My favorite thing is to do is put out music. It's just be on tour. Like, I love it.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I'm Scott Evans.
And I'm Zuri Hall.
And this is The Vault by Access Hollywood. Today, we're talking about a pop star, true pop star. She's a Billboard Music Award winning, Grammy nominated performer. She's been named the world's biggest ever teenage star and has sold over 100 million records worldwide, making her one of the best selling artists of all time. It's a party in the USA.
Oh, You ain't gonna do it to him that early. You giving a little hint? I like where you're going.
I can't do it. I can't do it. It's the one another. Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, man. She has given us some hits. She has given us some pop culture moments. We are going to talk about that wrecking ball. You know we will. But today we are going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be taking a look at a very specific time period in Miley's career between the years of 2006 to 2010. Okay. So just to give you some context, that takes us from Hannah Montana up to the Can't Be Tamed album. So to start things off, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about those Hannah Montana days. Whether you watched it or not, you know that the Disney Channel original series was such a massive success and cemented Miley as a star from the get-go. It focused on a character called Miley Stewart as she juggled being a typical teenager by day and a pop star by night. And of course, it featured her real life dad, Billy Ray Cyrus, as her on-screen father. Did you ever watch, Scott?
Have
you
ever seen an episode of Montana? I mean, that was prime, like, what was that? I had a little sister and Hannah Montana was like it. You know what I mean? Hannah, that was, and then it was like, wasn't it also, it was a song. It was like a Hannah Montana, Hannah Montana, Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana. Like it was like a,
that
it was like a rap song.
That was a rap song. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard, so too. Like, I remember being at the skate rink.
Just skating to Hannah Montana. You know, what used to piss me off about that show. Miley would walk in with a blonde wig and then be like, oh my
do
God,
a turn.
Miley, you're just a teenage kid. And then she like, pow, and put on a different wig. And they'd be like, where'd she go? Who are you? Oh my God, it's a pop star. And I'm like, if y'all don't quit selling this girl a dream. When I
listen, it was,
I do not get that reaction. Y'all know.
It was,
so.
Did you just say when I switch my wig, y'all don't love me like y'all do Hannah Montana?
Same energy. Y'all be giving Miley. Let me be a pop star when
switch
I
switch it up on us
little,
right now. Switch it up on us. I dare
wig.
You.
Access first sat down with Miley and her dad actually backstage at the CMA Awards back in 2006. Now, this is right at the beginning of the Hannah Montana craze, and craze is exactly what it was. The show's soundtrack had just hit number one on the Billboard 200. Listen to what Miley and Billy Ray had to say about the milestone and what responsibilities she had now that she was a role model. And mind you, she was only 13 years old at this point.
Okay, first of all, I want to know who's the superstar. Is it you because he's your dad or you because she's your daughter?
She's the boss. I just work here.
That's the rules.
That's the rules. You're the boss.
I'm the boss.
You're the boss. Well, you know what? If you've got a number one soundtrack, I guess you are the boss.
The Boss, yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you find out about that? That's fantastic.
Well, Jason, my manager, I kept calling him like every 5 minutes. I was like, please, Jason, figure it out.
Yeah.
And then we watched like the percentages online, just like sit there and watch.
Yeah.
And then finally, it was later that night where I just kind of forgot about it.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, my mom was like, guess what? And my mom was so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was so cool. I was so excited.
Okay, did you tell your dad? Who told him?
We were all there together.
Oh, yeah. I started running around the house screaming.
Yeah. And he said, honey, what's going on?
He was kind of wondering why I was doing that.
Right.
And I told him. And I'm so excited.
That is so cool. Yeah. I mean, ever in a million years, did you suspect that this would go to number one, the soundtrack?
Well, I mean, it's really like... It's really cool because all the songs that the kids already know, but I had no idea for that. I knew they like, you know, really liked the songs, and it did really good on Radio Disney and stuff like that, but I never thought that on Billboard.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank
you. What do you think about this little lady?
She's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, as a, you know, as a daddy, naturally, I would say that. But as a professional actor, seeing her evolve and becoming this little Lucille Ball type character.
Right.
That's the closest way I can describe her acting. And she's always been very funny. And her comedic timing is just unreal. You know, she's...
Now, who does she get that from?
She's just Miley. She's always been Miley. She's always had a very distinct personality.
He's funny.
She's
he just
always
hides
been
it.
Funny.
He tries to act like
the character that she plays on the show is so Miley. It's down to... When I read the script, I said... You know, Hannah Montana, this is Miley.
And I'm telling you, Dad, if this music thing for you doesn't work out, she can take over.
Well, she already has, trust me. She's on the fast track
right
now, you know, and just for me to be able to again stand back not only as a professional but as her daddy and be a witness to what's going on here. This has been one of the greatest highlights of my life to just be a small part of this experience.
Well, I know that you are such a role model for so many young girls out there. How does that feel for you? And you know, so many young girls are facing issues of self-esteem problems these days. You know, how do you set yourself up as a role model? And what message do you give them to make sure they keep a positive self-image?
Well, I remember looking up to like Hilary Duff. She was in the same position as I am now.
Yeah.
And I remember kind of watching her, and I remember how it felt. You know, well, if she did this, then I would do that and that kind of thing. So I always remember that I kind of followed her as an example, and now the kids are kind of treating me that way too.
Yeah.
And so really just anytime that I can tell anyone just to keep following their dreams, because that was something that I always had. My dad kept telling me, and then, you know, I would get down about it and not think I could, you know, do this or whatever. And now listening to him really helped me out. So hopefully I can tell them the same thing and help them out.
Fantastic.
I've always tried and prayed that God would use my life as a witness to other kids that if Billy Ray Cyrus from Flatwoods, Kentucky can reach his dreams, then I can reach mine also. And to now be able to pass that torch on to Miley and to hear her say that she watched the old man and knew that, well, he can reach his dreams and I can reach mine too. I mean, that's what life's about. So I'm hoping that the kids out there will take a look at Miley and say, hey, it's a little girl who had a dream, who vowed that she was going to reach her goal, and she worked very hard to get there. And once again, that non-glorified word of persistence, Miley had persistence. She went to a lot
that's
of auditions
so important.
That she didn't get. But she would get knocked down and she'd just dust herself off and get right back up to the plate. And that's what it takes.
I love how excited and proud Billy Ray was when he said, this is one of the greatest moments of my life, but is talking about just being able to witness his baby girl step into her own and for her to be so young when she was doing it, 13 years old. I mean, that was really cool to hear. So I always love the daddy-daughter dynamics because I'm such a daddy's girl.
And he's also kept that same energy even now. You know what I mean? And it's not just Miley, you know, he's watching Noah receive a Grammy nomination for her work over this past year. Like it is his greatest win seeing his kids grow up and pursue their dreams in a way that they're fulfilled, happy people and also sharing, you know, that especially if it's music related, he's like in hog heaven.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Not hog heaven.
Hog heaven.
Very, very on brand.
Hey now.
Me some hog heaven.
Listen, I think about now it's probably time we take a little break.
A little bit of break? All right, let's go and take a break then.
We'll see you when we come back.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, The new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I tell you what, we are back from our break.
Yeah, we are.
I tell you what. Okay, so this time period that we're talking about today with Miley Cyrus is from the year 2006 to the year 2010 of our Lord, right? So you can't deny that this was an insane time for Miley, right? Like this was... And I don't want to say insane, but this was like a really intense time in her life. Like she catapulted, right? Had a billion-dollar franchise on her shoulders, budding music career, and was trying to differentiate herself from Hannah Montana. Oddly enough, we had a hard time. We talked about this earlier. She switched the wig, and we were still like, why is Hannah Montana twerking? Why is Hannah Montana twerking with Robin Thicke? I don't understand.
That was after 2010. We're sticking to the before years.
I'm just saying. What happened?
Why is
Hannah on the wrecking ball?
Why is Hannah on a wrecking ball?
Okay, so we sat down with her a lot, though, through the 2006-2010 time period. And so one of the topics that we kept going back to was how she was able to juggle all of this. And honestly, what we know now is that she had an incredible team and her family was always near her. Okay, listen to this 2007 clip that we discussed.
What did you think when you heard that you were outselling faster than the police and what have you? I mean, that must, you have a big fan base, obviously, but that's insanity.
It's pretty crazy. This, like, they were comparing me to all different kind of people, and I was like, kind of stressed, and I was like, oh my gosh, I really have to focus. I was like, there's no time to be a kid right now. I was like, I really have to get into it. But then, like, the more that I found how much I really love everyone that's working around me, I was like, it's cool, you know? They'll help me through it. They'll make sure, because they love me, I love them. We're not just doing it for the fans, of course, but that's not the only, like, motivation. It's also for each other, to give each other an awesome experience.
Well, and you love it. You love what you're doing.
Yeah, I do.
Is it too much at sometimes for a 15-year-old?
It can be, but it's always fun. Like, my mom makes sure that I have time to hang out and after the shows, go chill, so that's fine.
This is a young girl.
Yeah.
Right. She's like, I get this is a business.
Yeah. And like, I don't got no time to be a kid. Let's make moves.
we got some stuff that I can get in the swimming pool later.
Right.
We got to make this money.
Yeah. And she did it well. She was hustling, man. Her work ethic, you can't knock it. I mean, those kids in general, right? Like the Disney stars and all of the child stars, it takes a certain level of maturity to understand that it's a business and it's a job and it's a commitment and you have to do it even when you don't want to. That's a really early age to realize that sort of responsibility and to consistently deliver, which honestly, when some of these child stars do get burnt out or do have the mini meltdowns, you can't help but feel bad and completely understand where it comes from. I can't imagine at 13 years old having those sorts of burdens. So the fact that, you know, at 15, she already had a good head on her shoulders and was like, I know what this is. I know what it's not. Let's go. Says a lot about her work ethic, which I respect.
Exactly. So, okay. I want to play one more clip from in this segment, because I think it kind of perfectly illustrates the amount of work that she was doing at this stage in her career. So this is from an interview from 2008 that took place shortly after Miley was being criticized for using a body double during her Hannah Montana tour. Listen to what she said when she was asked about the quote-unquote controversy.
Oh, right. It wasn't for my own stunts. It wasn't for anything. It was because at the end of We Got the Party With Us, there's only 30 seconds that I needed extra to be able to get my hair down. Mm-hmm. And so we only used her for 30 seconds, which there was no vocals. It was only the Jonas's. So basically, it was her running up to the top and running down. And then after we figured out a way that we could make it quicker once Allie and AJ got here and we were doing a different song. But at that point, there was no way. Even 30 seconds seems like it was such a small amount of time. But it usually takes me an hour and a half to get from Hannah to Miley, and I was only getting like a minute and 30, which I needed at least 2 minutes to 3 minutes long. So that was the only reason. It wasn't even for a stunt double or a body double, it was for time.
Does it help having your mom back there, or is it just so hectic that you just don't care, you're taking clothes off?
No, it's definitely helpful to have my mom, because she won't let me go back out on the stage unless I've had enough water, and to help my blood sugar, I have orange juice, and just to make sure that my body and my mind is ready to go out on stage.
Now, what's the hardest part for you? Is it your voice? Is it just...
It's just being tired. Because also, just when I get up there, you know, your heart's racing so much. And especially because, you know, the more you keep going, and it's just, your body just gets really exhausted. And so I think it's just, like, training your body enough to keep going and be able to say, okay, 10 more songs, go, you know, and, like, really just making yourself do it. It's a lot of, like, training and just... you got to keep going. There's no stopping in the middle of a set. So I think it's just, you know, getting prepared to do that.
You remember in these kinds of interviews with her, you remember that her father has toured the world, you know, toured all around the country and also the world as a country artist. And so he was able to really prepare her for what this was like. And that he was also the kind of person that was like, if this ain't working, we'll figure something else out. You know what I mean? Don't want to be doing this, this way, we'll figure something else out. You know, but you also need to realize that this work is going to cost you something. It's not just like, let's do it till it's not fun.
Right.
Yeah. To hear her talk, man, she's like, business.
Right. That was my big takeaway. I was like, oh my God, how old is she here? Because she was like,
I need
actually, this is what it is, and this is what not. Da, 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 and it was 30 seconds. I need a minute, and I need my orange juice. And,
yeah.
And I'm like, all right, you better let them know what it is. But yeah, she certainly is about her business. I'm not knocking it at all. And also, very impressive, actually, when you think about it, like the way that she answered like the body double question, right? Like it's, like you could easily get squirmy or whatever if you're not sure of yourself, or like there was an authoritative tone to her delivery that to only be 16 years old, I think is really impressive about, you know, certain questions that are a little bit more like, can you explain this? The blogs are saying this, the articles are saying this. So for her to be like, well, this is what it is, and that's that, period. So early, she has certainly leaned into that over the years. And even now we see like Miley is who she is, and you can take it or leave it. And she is very unapologetic with it. So it's kind of cool to hear little hints of that, little whispers, if you will, that eventually turn into loud roars. Whisper. Closing out today's episode, because I know you're sick of us awkwardly whispering into the microphone, but whisper. Closing out today's episode, we are going to jump forward to 2010. This is a huge year for Miley. Hannah Montana had just ended the year before, and Can't Be Tamed was about to come out. This was Miley's first big outing as herself without the Disney Channel series happening at the same time. AXA sat down with her to talk about what it meant to just transition into this new phase of her career and whether or not she was leaving Hannah Montana behind. Here you go.
I'm just so lucky to have had Hannah, because I never want to ever make it seem like a bad thing, because sometimes, you know, I end up sounding that way, and I don't ever mean to, like, be disrespectful to Hannah, because, like, I wouldn't be here. But sometimes, you know, it makes it harder, because having Hannah above me, that was such, like, you know, it was, like, this pop, like, iconic, you know, good girl, and, like, all that kind of stuff, which it's true, but people can't say, you know, oh, she's like leaving Hannah behind, because I am Hannah Montana. And I think that sometimes what people have a hard time thinking, like, oh, she'll never, but like, that was just me with a wig on. It was all my morals, all my song, like all my inspiration. I was the one telling girls to go live their dream, not Hannah Montana. That was me. So, you know, it's just I'm not doing it with a blonde wig anymore. And I'm not doing it like in glitter and all that kind of stuff. I'm doing it in the same way and a little bit darker and some like funky, edgy, more mature songs. But there's still songs on my record that have the same meaning, just not in such a cutesy way.
On Change and Evolution, you know, there's lyrics from a Pink song that that stick out. And Pink is one who I think, interestingly enough, she made changes and she made no apologies about it. She went full bore. Other people kind of hedged and, ooh, got a little afraid in their change and kind of, she went all the way through and, you know, she's unstoppable. L.A. told me, she speaks about Arista Records, L.A. Reid. L.A. told me, you'll be a pop star. All you got to do is change who you are. Aren't you doing right now really what you are? Who you are?
Yeah, no disrespect, but I think that's not necessarily true. I think like there's people that are like the Madonnas and Gaga and that are so amazing that Gaga is like my idol. I look up to her so much because no matter what, it is all about the music. But what makes her so interesting is she does change her art. That's her thing. That's Gaga. For me, my thing is that like I want people to listen to my music and hear exactly who I am and not have to hide anything like mask and all that stuff. I want people to look at me and go, okay, there's the same Miley we know. She may be older and sexier and growing into herself a little bit more, but it's the same person. I don't think you have to change who you are. I'm not a personal fan of reinvention because, you know, I don't want to get boring and whatever, but as a person, you always grow. You always change and you make mistakes and you learn and that takes care of itself. You change by yourself. I don't think you need to do a physical change and always switch it up because, I mean, I think that my fans have followed me around for 5 years and I haven't necessarily become a completely different person.
Let me let you know here today, Hannah Montana, forever. She said, "Let I ain't with all of that."
First of all, I ain't with all of that. Me with a wig.
It confirms we already knew about Miley Cyrus and that she had been developing and had been given the space to develop, kind of uniquely who she wanted to be as an artist while also growing up. You know what I mean? And so we saw her make some choices. Yeah. And later on in her career, we saw her make some choices that didn't seem like it was really actually Miley. And we know now, you know, she's talked about now, like, I was doing some stuff. I was trying some stuff and it didn't really work out. And it wasn't actually being true to who I really, really want to be. But I was being true to what I thought I wanted in the moment.
Yeah, which is a part of growing up, right? You experiment, you try things. You can't know it's not for you until you do it. But when, you know, you're the face of a $1 billion franchise in Hannah Montana and a global superstar, it has to be done publicly, you know, to expect a 16, 17, 18 year old kid essentially to know exactly who they are and commit to that publicly and not switch stuff up, give us a little something just to see if it hits or not and be like, well, what is going on here? Like that, I think we all had those experimental phases. It's just way more magnified.
I've seen photos of your experimental phase.
Watching, so. I understand.
I've seen photos.
Don't do it. I hate the internet. I hate MySpace. I had to get photos off MySpace. I literally was like, have I told you the story where I was like, dear sir or madam, please take this shit down. I lost my password and I need these photos. Never. A lot of fingerless gloves.
I swear I told you this stuff.
A lot of open toe heels.
Ooh, yes.
Liquid leggings. The I had the Carrie Hilson Bayang.
Yes.
Ooh, the blonde streak. Gross.
You had eyebrows. They just weren't your own. It was a different situation. It was Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana. Let me have my Hannah Montana moment, y'all. All that matters is I got to my Miley.
You did it. And listen, no doubt about it, we are all better for it. Miley has been a driving force in pop music for the last 15 plus years. I mean, she's got some real bops. Let's be honest. But honestly, I think it's time that you and I call this one a wrap.
Let's wrap it up, Scott Evans.
Zuri Hall.
We're wrapping it up, guys. I'm still Zuri Hall.
And I'm still Scott Evans.
And this is still The Vault by Access Hollywood.
And you can still subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you still listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm. And we will definitely still plan to see you in the next one.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.